terms of this Trinitarian shape of Christian prayer, Pope Francis talks to us about how praying is a turning to the Father, that our Christian prayer is patrocentric. A lot of our people that we serve think it's Christocentric. We pray through Christ, but it's ultimately meant to be patrocentric, all our prayers in Christ to the Father. On a June 20th Daily Mass homily, he said, "The important thing in our prayer is that our first word be Father," like in the Greek Pater Humon, right? Our Father. In order to pray, there's no need to make noise or to believe that it's better to use more words. To pray, he said, there's no need to heap up empty phrases. Let our first word just be Father. This is key to prayer. "To whom do I pray?" he asked. "The Almighty God? He's way too far away. I don't feel him, neither did Jesus feel him. To whom do I pray? The God of the cosmos?" This is quite frequent nowadays, isn't it? Praying to the cosmic God. Rather, we must pray to the Father who begot us. But this is in all, we must pray our Father. That is not the Father of a generic and too anonymous all, but the one who begot you, who gave you life, who gave life to you and to me. We pray to the Father by the help of the Holy Spirit in the Son. And this is why St. Paul was able to say, we do not know how to pray as we ought. But it's the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings, who helps us to cry out, Abba, Father. You know, St. Augustine, way back when, said that the essential aspect of prayer is not quid ores, but qualis ores. Not what you say when you pray, but who you are when you pray. And the Holy Spirit's work is to transform us into beloved sons and daughters who cry out, Daddy, in prayer. And then learn how to pray with confidence, as Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount. What father among you would give his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread, or a poisonous eel when he asked for a fish? If you are evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give himself, essentially, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him for anything with a sincere heart, right? That's the way the Holy Spirit transforms us in prayer. Pope Francis said in an April 10th audience, St. Paul tells us we've received a spirit of sonship when we cry, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Father, or rather Abba, which means daddy, teaches us something very important about our prayer. Our God is like this. He's a dad to us. The Holy Spirit creates within us this new condition of being children of God. And this is the greatest gift we've received from the Paschal mystery of Jesus. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift we have received. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Pope Francis' words for it. Take Jesus' words for it. It is better for you that I go. Because if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is basically saying, if you've got a choice between me and the Holy Spirit, take the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is that great gift who teaches us how to relate to the Father in this dialogue of life. God treats us as his beloved children. He understands us. He forgives us. He embraces us. He loves us even when we err. But this filial relationship with God is not like a treasure that we can keep in the corner of our life. It has to be increased. It must be nourished every day with listening to the Word, with prayer, with participation in the sacraments, especially reconciliation in the Eucharist, and with love. We can really live as children. This is our dignity. We have the dignity of children, and we should behave as true children. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to pray through the holy name and the person of Jesus. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Names and persons are coextensive in the biblical mentality. To pray in the name of Jesus means to pray in the person of Jesus. To pray for what Jesus himself would pray for. Pope Francis says, Jesus still prays. He is our intercessor, the one who prays to the Father with us and for us. He retains the marks of the wounds in His hands, His feet, and His side. And when He prays, He shows the Father the price of our justification, and He prays for us. This is why when we pray, we say, through our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, for He is the first to pray. Let us tell Him, Lord, You are our intercessor. You've saved me, and now You're praying for me. Makes it so much easier to entrust our problems and our lives to Him, for He brings it to the Father. He likes to tell a story back when he was in Buenos Aires that he had a man, a father of eight, who worked at the diocesan chancery there. And any time he needed to go out to run an errand, he would whisper to himself, Jesus. And so Cardinal Bergoglio once asked him, why do you keep saying Jesus? And the humble man answered, because when I say the name Jesus, I feel strong. I feel able to work because I know He's beside me, that He's preserving me. This man, the future Pope continued, had not studied theology. He only had the grace of baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, but His witness did me so much good. The name of Jesus, there is no other name. Perhaps it will do good to all of us who live in a world that offers such a multitude of gurus and saviors. It's the name of Jesus. We should bear witness to it. He is the Savior. We should have that same power on our lips. Jesus. In prayer, God always responds by giving us Himself. I mentioned that before in Jesus saying in the Sermon on the Plain, that whatever we ask the Father, He will respond by giving the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. He gives Himself together with the particular gift. And the giver is even greater than the given. And we need to ponder that. He said in October, after focusing on fathers not giving scorpions when they ask for rags, he said, we expect to hear He'll give good things to us. But no, He doesn't say that. He says He'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. How tremendous is this? When we pray courageously, the Lord not only gives grace, He gives us His very self in the grace. And the Lord never sends or gives grace by the mail. He brings it Himself. He is that grace. And when we don't know what to ask for in prayer, just let's ask for Him. Give me Yourself, O Lord. It's that great insight of Thomas Aquinas, huh? The very end of his life, which ended when he was only 50. Think about that, how much he produced through his fruitful prayer. Also six secretaries who used to walk with him on the journeys, but that's a small little footnote. But at the very end, you have written well of me, Thomas. What would you ask for? What would you want that I give you? And Thomas's response, Nisi te, Domine. Nothing but You, Lord. I only want You. What a beautiful prayer. You know, I'd encourage, just as a small little act of piety, that's one of the things I say at the conclusion of every one of my holy hours and every Mass. Nisi te Domine. It's so easy to remember. Nothing but You, Lord, that what I really want is You. God always wants to give fundamentally Himself. So let's just ask for the bigger stuff. I think a lot of the times when we pray, we ask for little stuff. As if Bill Gates were to come and say, what would you like for your parish, Father? Could you give me $5, Bill? I mean, it's just like, no, and He can give so much more. And when we turn to the Lord, some of the times we're just asking for the little stuff. And because we're kids, some of the times we do ask for the little stuff. But part of this growth in prayer is to ask for the biggest stuff of all. Let's talk about the qualities of Christian prayer. First thing Pope Francis says, we must pray with humility, repentance, and thanksgiving. Humility, like that tax collector begging for forgiveness, but also thanksgiving. You know, we see in that scene of the grateful leper that the Lord had a far greater gift in mind than the healing of the leprosy. It was only because of his gratitude that he was opened up to receive it. For us to receive the gift of the Lord, we must have that openness, and that openness begins with thanksgiving. When I teach prayer, you know, the Catechism basically talks about those five different forms of prayer. I more or less break it down to four, but then we rank them. What's the most important way we pray? Out of prayer, of praise or adoration, of blessing, thanksgiving, petition or intercession, and contrition. I believe that by far the most important form of prayer is praise. That's when we just love God because He's so eminently lovable. Second is thanksgiving, in which we pour out our gratitude for all that the Lord has done for us. Contrition, that opens us up, prayer for others, intercession, then prayer for ourselves. And you know, that can become a real practice at the beginning of our prayer, where just to get ourselves warmed up when we get into the chapel, that we begin to just say, Lord, I love you. Make an act of the presence of God. I cannot believe that I am kneeling 24 feet away from the one who created me and created the entire world. I love you for who you are. I thank you. And then we can start to go through. There are so many people who are depressed because they're constantly focused on what they don't have rather than what they do. And the real transformative principle for that in the spiritual life is thanksgiving. Some of the times for a penance, when somebody's come on in constantly criticizing everything and everything else, is just a soul full of battery acid that given day. I'll sometimes say for a penance, I want you to thank God for at least 100 things, but I don't want you counting. They're like, what? I feel like I'm back in second grade with sister so-and-so having me write on the board, I won't do this. I said, listen, it's not going to take you very long. If you really want to start with your right hand, and you already have 25 things you can thank God for just with your right hand. Everything that works, all the rest of it. So often we overlook that type of stuff. We're just not grateful. Because we're always looking acquisitively for the next thing. When we start with thanksgiving after praise, we begin to have our whole life develop in blessing. And it changes our entire mood. Go on, but humility, repentance, and thanksgiving. We need to pray courageously, Pope Francis says, with our entire being, as if our life depended on it. Prayer is not just good exercise. It's something that we have to escape death and receive life. It's a rescue operation. Think about those terrible dreams we all had when we were growing on up, about somebody hunting us down or anything else like this, and finally we escape. That's what we're talking about. In May, when the reading came on up about the disciples' inability to cast out the demon from the man when Jesus was praying up at the top of Mount Tabor in the Transfiguration, they asked the question, why couldn't we cast it out? Jesus said, this kind of demon cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. The father of the child said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. His was a strong prayer, and that prayer, humble and strong, moved Jesus to work the miracle. A prayer that calls for an extraordinary action must be a prayer that involves our entire being as if our entire life depended on it. In prayer, you must put yourself to the test. Miracles happen, but they need prayer, courageous prayer that struggles for that miracle. We talked about the prayer of Abraham and Moses and how brave that prayer was. 50, Lord. 40, 30, 20, 10. Courageous. Moses' prayer in the same way. Reasoning with the Lord. What will the people say if you destroy the people you freed from Pharaoh's clutches? They're your people now. Brave, courageous prayer. He says, prayer works miracles, but we must believe it. I think we can see a beautiful prayer, not a polite prayer, but a prayer from the heart, and tell him today throughout the entire world, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Pope suggested we reflect on our own prayer. How do I pray? Do I pray piously and calmly out of habit? Or do I place myself fully and courageously before the Lord? Prayer that's not courageous isn't real prayer. When we pray, we need the courage to trust that the Lord is listening, and we need the courage to knock on that door. We have to get fully involved in our prayer. He said prayer is a struggle and a sacrifice. He was asked in conversations with Jorge Bergoglio. What represents a great sacrifice for him in his daily life? The first thing that came to his mind, the greatest sort of example of sacrifice in his life is many things, but for example, staying up to pray past midnight, which is something that obviously he would do when he was tired after not taking an automobile, but taking the public transportation out to the various favelas or the Villas Miseria in order to be able to come back. That was the time he was getting his prayer, but he struggled in it. He persevered. He said prayer involves three different stages for Raz. God speaking to us, His Word, our renunciation of something that we value, and then the mission we carry out. He said this is a sequence that we see in Luke 5 with Peter's call at the seashore, but it influences all our prayer. He says, first we listen to the Word of God, a word through which He gives us peace and assures us of His closeness. From now on you will be a fisher of men. Then the moment of renunciation. We have to be ready to leave something. To be able to say to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to leave in order to be closer to you? Perhaps at that moment He won't tell us, but we need to ask Him with a generous spirit. Lastly, there's a moment of mission. Prayer always helps us to understand what we must do. There's a struggle, and a lot of the times we don't persevere in prayer because we know He's asking a renunciation. Because prayer is a struggle, we need to contemplate with our mind, heart, and knees. It's not enough just to pray with our words. Some of the things that the Lord wants to teach us can only be understood on bended knee, not with the mind alone. There's a little bit of suffering in order to be able to understand it, is what He's saying. We need to make sure we don't give up that struggle. Some of the times we used to pray with great fervor and heroism, but over the course of time we've just been a little beaten down, we don't do it. You know, in that retreat to the Spanish bishops, there were parts of it that were unbelievably blunt. And he said, with regard to the prayer of the Spanish bishops, and we can finish here today, I recommend that you review some of the typical phrases that form part of what we might call the patois, the local dialect, our own language of priests and bishops. It would be good to test their veracity before the Lord. I'll offer some examples, but each of you can add others as the Lord inspires you in your own prayer. What we used to say at the beginning, I'm not suited for that, may have changed into, at this stage of the game, I'm done with that. Don't ask me to do that. I once would have taken that stupid assignment when I'm younger. Not now. This parish, this clergy, this diocese makes me tired with all their complaints and demands. Maybe I would work more efficiently under different circumstances if only my situation were better. We begin to start to say that the excuse for our not praying well is outside of us rather than inside of us because we're not willing to continue that perseverance. We begin to make those excuses. Cardinal Bergoglio was trying to cut through that BS. He wants us to examine our own circumstances and whether we're growing in this docility in our prayer or whether we've become a little calcified, a little bit routine, just kind of going through the motions, drifting on what we've done before. A retreat obviously is a time for that persevering prayer. He will say a little bit later that our prayer must be persistent, bold, confident, and faithful to the point of driving God crazy. That we've really got to pray as if our life depended on it, like that importune woman in the gospel. Until the person opens up the door, you probably, like me, have had those people who ring the phone all Sunday afternoon, not thinking that there's a reason why you might not be answering the phone on a Sunday afternoon. But regardless, constantly ringing until finally you pick up that phone. Because you just can't have it anymore. That's the way, Pope Francis says, Jesus teaches us how to pray. God's a relentless warrior. And He wants us to be a warrior and praying to Him. That's why He describes to us parables about the necessity of praying without ever quitting, without losing heart, like that widow petitioning the dishonest judge. Sometimes we think that we need to negotiate with God. We don't. We need to boldly ask for what we're confident that He in His goodness will give, like Abraham, like Moses. And on the Feast of St. Nicholas this year, he talked about the crying out that we need to do in prayer. To do so, to pray well, I would say, we need to learn how to become bothersome. I don't know, perhaps this sounds a little bad, but praying is a little like bothering God so that He finally listens to us. It's a matter of drawing God's eyes and hearts to us. This is precisely what the lepers did in the Gospel, crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us," even when people wanted to shut them up. This is how Jesus Himself teaches us to pray. We generally bring our request to the Lord 1, 2, or 3 times without great strength. And then we tire of asking and we forget to ask. We just figure that the answer must be no if He hasn't responded yet. Yet He said the blind men, who Matthew describes, cry out and don't cease crying out. In fact, the Pope added, Jesus tells us to knock on the door. For whoever knocks at the door makes noise. He disturbs. He bothers. These are the words Jesus uses to tell us how we should pray. The question that we all have to ask ourselves is, am I sure God can really answer my prayers? Or do I pray a little, but without really being sure if He can really do it? He added, He can do it, even if we don't know how or when He will do it. Talked about Moses and the Amalekites, right? Which was the image used by Pope Benedict to describe his very important activity that he is now doing for the entire church. And he said, we learn from that scene that there's a battle of prayer to be waged each day, that God is our ally, that faith in Him is our strength, and prayer is the expression of this faith. Therefore, Jesus assures us of victory, but He asks that foreboding question, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? The Lord Jesus equates faith with persevering faith in action, which is prayer. That our faith is shown in our persevering prayer. And that's what the whole church needs on the battlefield. And we are the ones who have the office of praying. Not just praying in holy hours, but praying through our work. Tomorrow morning we'll begin with the prayer of Ora Labora et Studium, which is the Benedictine model. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Mother of priests, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.